And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. The phone number
here. I didn't
find
it this morning.
Oh, I forgot to turn that off. Okay, I got it right. All right, the phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I may have done that a little bit fast. I apologize. This program is Health Essentials. The phone number here at the station, if you want to call and ask me a question or make a comment, is 903-586-5257. Now, I came across an article, and I've read the article. I've tried to look up different resources on it, but it's something that I have not personally tried as of yet. And what I'm doing is I'm looking at one particular form of a supplement. I'll come back to it in just a moment. Good morning. Boy, that is so horrible. I don't know what happened. I pushed the button I thought correctly. The number here is 903-586-5257 if you want to call and ask a question. And it may be that we have a glitch, but I'm going to try to push the phone lines again. This will be a good test for us. Good morning and welcome to the program. I'm sorry, it ain't working. So I need to make myself a note to tell the engineer here at the station that it doesn't work when I push the phone lines. There's a horrible noise, and I just can't hear. Anyway, so I tell you what, I always do the very best that I can. So let's do the best that we can to kind of make a go with this program. But I can tell you right now, it'll just be me talking for the next almost 1 hour. So I came across this article that I found interesting, and one of the reasons I'm sharing this with you is I've got to believe there's just a lot of people listening today that this could be valuable information for, or maybe you have a loved one where this could come in really, really handy. Well, the title of the article was Painful Knee Joint, okay? And what I'll do is I'm going to spell this word, but the type of the supplement is called calcium fructoborate. Let me spell, I know you can spell calcium. Calcium is a mineral, but let me spell the term fructoborate for you. F-R-U-C-T-O-B-O-R-A-T-E. Fructoborate. You want to know why this article caught my attention? Well, here's the headline. Painful knee joint? Calcium fructoborate helps within a few days. Now, you realize it didn't say morphine, it didn't say OxyContin, it didn't say Mobic, Vioxx, Celebrex, aspirin, Advil, Tylenol. It said none of those things. It said that calcium fructoborate helps within a few days. So I said, I'm going to read that article. And if I'm not mistaken, what year did I read this? I mean, what year does the article come from? Anyway, I'll share it with you. And they have a brief abstract, and they're saying that if you suffer from a painful knee that also no longer functions properly, which I may stop you right there and say it this way, even though this may not make logical sense to you, but if you have a painful joint anywhere in the body, it does not have to be the knee. It could be the shoulder. Maybe it's your hand. How about your hip? You got an ankle or a foot. Whatever the joint is, if it's hurting, it's because it's not working right. Even if you can't look back or think back about an injury that you may have had, and you can't put your finger on anything and say, oh yes, it's when I was bucked off of a horse and I landed on a cactus, that's when my problem started. Well, yeah, that makes sense. But what if you do, if you can't recall anything? Well, I still need you to consider that's not going to change anything, whether we remember the event that injured your knee joint or not. But to make a long story short, what do we do to restore, you know, the knee back to good working order? And so the key is, if you can restore the function of a joint, you can make it stop hurting. That's the whole goal. And so this study comes, it was published in a journal called Clinical Interventions in Aging. And they show that calcium fructoborate takes effect just after a few days of use. And I thought to myself, now that is interesting. Now, of course, this is radio, so you can't see what I'm looking at, so I'm going to describe it to you. There's a picture of a vitamin manufacturer. The brand name is called Bioimmersion. You know, like the word immerse. You want to immerse yourself in the Holy Scriptures. You want to dive into them. You want to camp out on a verse or a chapter, and you want to learn or immerse yourself in Scripture to find out what it's saying. And so the company is called Bioimmersion. And they have a product called Fructoborate. All right? It has a small heading under that, osteoskeletal care, which that makes sense. It says there are 60 capsules. Anyway, here's a study right here. In the year 2014, researchers at a company called Futureceuticals, a producer of active supplements, or substances for supplements and functional foods, they published a trial involving 60 subjects, and the age range was somewhere between 35 and 65. So they got a 30-year window they're looking at. So you know what you're probably thinking. How can a 35-year-old person have a knee problem? Go to the grocery store and just see it for yourself. Who is using these motorized shopping carts to get around? And why are they doing that? It's because their knees are such, they're such bad working order. They can't walk to the back of the store to grab, you know, a half a pound of butter to put in their shopping cart. Which technically I never see them do that. But anyway, that's a different topic for a different day. So, in these 60 subjects that were 35 to 65 that had painful knee joints, I think that was probably the number one criteria. How do you get in this study? Well, you got to have a bad knee. So, half of them received a placebo every day for 14 days. See, that's kind of interesting. It was only for 2 weeks here. I like the idea of something that works quickly, though. That makes me think that we're hitting the nail right on the head and doing something to help the body to repair itself. So some of them got a placebo. Half of them received a placebo every day for 14 days. During the same period, the other half took two capsules daily. That's just two capsules, each containing 110 milligrams of calcium fructoborate, and which personally does not seem like a lot of calcium to me. And of course, I think the calcium was from a plant or vegetable source, which I like that. That's really the way it's supposed to be. The plant is what extracts the calcium from the soil, and it prepares it in such a way where it's bioavailable or useful to a human being. That's a whole lot different than going up to a house and licking the limestone to get your calcium. That doesn't work that way. It says calcium fructoborate is a form of boron, which has been recently authorized in the EU. I guess that's the European Union. The maximum dose is 220 milligrams of calcium fructoborate per day. Okay? And so it says that the company called Futureceuticals markets calcium fructoborate as Fruit XB. Okay, I haven't seen that. I'll try to look that up. All right, here's the results right here. Two things. I know this is too technical. They used the MPQ score, which means how much pain do their knees exhibit, and they used the WOMAC score, which is a system of questionnaires and tests to determine if the knee is actually functioning better. That's what you want. So it says the study participants that took this calcium called calcium fructoborate, which has boron in it, and they improved their knee function. They also reduced the knee pain, which maybe that's a point I need to hit one more time. The only way that you get out of pain is by improving the function. So let me give you an example. What if your legs were so weak you just literally have the, and well, I'll say the legs and the hips. What if those are so weak it's a real struggle just for you to get out of a chair? Okay? Well, how are you going to remedy that? Well, you're going to have to go into training. And if you accept your training, that means you're going to start practicing getting in and out of a chair more efficiently. And how do you do that? It's called exercise. And so maybe that's the hardest thing for you to do, is get out of a chair. So do you actually improve the function of your knees and your ankles and feet and your hips? Do they get stronger by just sitting in a chair? No. They get stronger by the effort that you put into it. And I think you've probably figured this world out. Everything of great value requires effort. That's it. You've got to put effort into it. If you have very painful knees, they're not going to get better magically by not using them. That probably is like counter to what other people teach. They say, hey, you're in pain, take it easy. You don't need to go for a walk every day. No, the exact opposite is true. Which, you know, one thing I can't do, we can't go through all the knee exercises on the radio. But you know what? It's so easy today. You could literally go to your computer or your smartphone, and you could go to a website called YouTube, and you could type in, how do I help my knees get over the horrific pain that I have when I stand up out of a chair or get up out of a chair? You'll probably find 100 videos that pop up that show you and demonstrate techniques on how to accomplish this. Now, the good news is, most people are very visual. Some people are more so auditory. But if you can actually see it demonstrated, and they show you what I might call a progression would be, well, what if you can't do it perfectly the first time? Well, they'll show you the steps that you go through to get that point. But you're going to have to reclaim your ability to increase the strength and the flexibility of your knee and your hips. And that's where exercise comes in. So this is the second part of that calcium fructoborate. They showed in this study that calcium fructoborate lowers the concentration of this inflammatory protein that just every doctor or nurse can measure. It's called C-reactive protein, or CRP. So I don't know the mechanism how it does that. There's actually a lot of things that I'm very curious about. I don't know exactly how they work. But in the real world, if somebody takes calcium fructoborate and all of a sudden their knee pain begins to diminish where they can walk more freely and they can do more, that's really the whole key here. So in the real world, if you can find a way to improve the pain, well, that's kind of your ticket to getting your life back. I don't know anybody that can outlast their... Who can outlive their knees? Nobody. Oh, yes, I've seen so many people that have had such horrific injuries, they can't. The knee joint's not going to recover, and that's where they have a knee replacement. Okay, this comparative double-blind study confirmed the effect of calcium fructoborate, showing significant improvements in knee discomfort, that's what they're talking about, pain, and knee function over 2 weeks. Well, if they found significant improvement over 2 weeks in knee pain, I mean, the pain started going down and improved the knee function. That sounds pretty interesting to me. And I've got to believe this is going to be pretty cheap since it comes from a supplement compared to getting steroid shots or injections or some other type of injection in the knee. Anyway, so I don't know what happens if a person takes this 4 weeks or 6 weeks or 8 weeks. But, I mean, you're just like I am. You're thinking, okay, we got to find a plan of attack. How do we help the knees get better? Well, a lot of times a person, once they start getting a significant reduction in pain, that's their green light. Or they have the green light, that means go, time to start moving more. And it may be they just go outside and they start walking around the house barefooted. Maybe not like me, where you step on a thorn and you get a big thorn in your foot this week. It was the Dickens trying to get out that it was more like a short thin barb in me. But I got it out. Took a pocket knife, but I got it out. Anyway, so this study only takes place over 2 weeks. But still, that's very, very encouraging. What if you could see an improvement in a relatively short period of time? Would that encourage you to continue, to keep trying, to try to improve yourself? Would you believe me if I told you that physical strength is literally the number one predictor on how long a person can stay alive on the planet? If you lose your strength, there's no longer a resource to keep your body in good working order. Basically, what this means is you either move or you die. Okay? All right. So much on that study on calcium fructoborate. But it's interesting. And yes, I think I gave you full disclosure. I don't have any firsthand experience with it. But I'm just like you are. I'm willing to, you know, learn. I looked up on a website to see if I could find a supplement, and I couldn't find that one. But that was just one that I looked at briefly. It's got to be out there. So if you look up calcium fructoborate, yeah, let me know. Give me some feedback. If you try that, I think that they just took two capsules a day, which was 110 milligrams per capsule. What would happen if you took that and you noticed there was a significant reduction in the way that your knees exhibited pain? Wouldn't that be awesome? Oh, that'd be great. I don't think I've heard of anybody being rushed to the ER from taking calcium fructoborate. It doesn't happen. But there's other drugs you can. Anyway. All right, here's another one right here. This is almost the same thing. The title of this article that I came up with, this came from April the 21st of the year 2009. So, you know, this is coming up on 15 years old, 14 years, give or take. Okay, it says, the less you sit, the older you'll get. Now, what that doesn't mean is that doesn't mean you're going to age faster. That just means you'll get to see a riper, older age. That means your body will stay in better repair if you don't sit so much. The more hours you spend sitting during the day, the greater your chance of dying. Okay, that's the point I'm getting at. If you are more active during the day, your chance of dying is less. This conclude researchers from Pennington Biomedical Research Center from a study they did of 17,000 people. Oh, 17,000. Oh, so you don't mean two people. You mean 17,000 people. That seems to be pretty significant. The researchers used data from people who took part in a national survey in 1981. It was called the Canada Fitness Survey. The participants were between 18 and 90. That's a pretty broad age range, so 90. That means I could barely squeak into that one. That was when the study started. And they were followed for 13 years. Isn't that something? Could you imagine if you were 80 years old when you started the study in 1981, and 13 years later you're 93, and you're given all this data in order to help us to learn about the human body and to help us to study how the human body functions. What is it that keeps the human body in good working order? Okay. From the data collected, the researchers conclude that there is a direct relationship between the amount of physical activity and the chance of dying. You know, the thing of it is, I know you don't need me to tell you these things. This really should be common sense, shouldn't it? Is this really like an amazing revelation to you that if you sit, what if you, let me say it differently. What do you think the results are if a person just lays in bed all day long and they say, I can't get up, I can't walk, I don't want to, I just want to lay in bed? Well, how is that going to go? I don't have the article in front of me, but there was some research years ago that said that sitting for 8 hours a day is about the damaging equivalent of smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. As a matter of fact, in this one study, they said that if you sit all day long, as in 8 hours at a desk job, that's about as bad, or actually it's a little bit worse on your entire body than if you, you know, compared to smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. Isn't that interesting? Now, I got the chart or the graph right here, and what they're doing is they're following these 17,000 individuals over a 13-year period. And they have a graph, and on one side of the graph it says cumulative survival percentage. Okay? And so they all start out at 100% survival, and then they follow them over 13 years, and so I'm just going to, like, break it down for you. So they had a group of people that almost none of the time did they sit down. They just didn't. They were up and they were moving. They liked to move. And you know what? I've discovered that when a person feels good and they have radiant energy, they do not want to sit down. They want to do work. They want to get up. They want to go places. They want to be with people. They want to help others. They want to work on projects. Maybe today they want to gather limbs from the storm. Thank goodness we had a storm last night. I love it. And rain. Thank you, Lord. That's so good. You're so good to us. Always think about the animals. They need water too. But the people that don't want to sit down, they absolutely had the highest level of survivability over 13 years. It was like a little bit more than a 95% survival rate. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Of course, the people that want to nearly sit all day long, I guess you'd call that like being pretty sedentary, huh? I mean, do you know people that are just real active and they move all the time and they move fast? I do. Those are the most amazing people of all time. Even if those people get a diagnosis of cancer, they always have the greatest outcome. I mean, they just blow the minds of the oncologist, and the oncologist usually says, you're like a one in a million. Nobody does this well. Chemotherapy must have worked magically on you, but do you think chemotherapy works well on people that are sedentary? No, it doesn't. So maybe there's another factor here. Maybe your immune system functions best when you have an optimal amount of movement or motion. You ever think about that? Anyway, those that were sedentary over the 13-year period, well, their survivability was really about 80%. So we've gone from like 95, 96% for people that are active. I just think that is so huge. I don't know how you think about this, but does it cost you to move? Well, we could say it doesn't. Maybe what I should say is, who pays the greatest price for not moving? Well, if you're sedentary, you're going to have one health problem after the other. I know that is not your favorite word. It begins with the letter E. It's called exercise. Some people get their exercise just by doing work all day long. They really do. I would say the vast majority of people do not, because our world's changed. We don't work on the farm all day anymore. If you were raised on a farm, you're probably going to be the healthiest, strongest person that I ever meet. If you're raised in the city, raised by a television or a PlayStation or Xbox, and you watch TV all day, or you sit at your computer looking at Facebook, well, you're probably not going to exactly be the picture of health. Your energy levels are probably going to be super low. Anyway, so there's my sales pitch to you today. If you want to live, move your body. You know how it says in Leviticus that the life is in the blood? Well, yeah, if the blood's moving. Okay, you got that? You may have heard me tell of this story, a study over and over again, but they asked the question. It kind of piqued my interest. How many gallons of blood a day does the average typical sedentary nursing home resident, how many gallons goes through the kidneys every day? Well, if you're sitting down all day long, it's about 200 gallons. Can 200 gallons of blood through the kidneys enable the kidneys to do their job? Oh, no. No way. Now, if you're up and moving throughout the day, it's a minimum of 2,000 gallons. And I know you get this, but your blood, that's your life force right there. Now, this is only my opinion. I don't expect anybody else to agree with me. It doesn't matter. But I actually think that maybe your blood is the most complex, sophisticated organ system that's been created. It's amazing. I'm forever studying different aspects of the blood, and I'm so amazed at what happens and how it works. I don't even know a half of it, but it's so intriguing to study and read about these things. But do you only want 200 gallons of blood flowing through your body a day? No. You want 2,000. 2000 is going to give you a greater capacity to hold on to and have a greater oxygen saturation and to be able to deliver more life force and more nutrients. And also, on the flip side of the coin, you need fast-moving blood to stay clean, because when your blood moves real slow, you build up a lot of toxic debris and waste. That's one of the reasons why that when children are young, they need to run and play and climb and skip and jump as much as physically possible. We need to turn the computer and the TV off, and the kids need to go outside and ride their bikes and go on hikes and play games and walk on fallen trees and balance and not fall off, and chase each other and play freeze tag and hide and go seek and jump out of the way of snakes. All those things, and go fishing with their dads, all that good stuff. Because what they're doing is they're building an athletic body that's going to carry them the rest of their life. You already know how this works. If you want to see what happens when people are really sedentary when they're young, well, go to the grocery store, and you'll see them in their 30s, sitting down on the motorized cart, letting the mechanical cart strain under the weight of their body. And when I say strain, I've seen it over and over again. Whoever designs these electric shopping carts maybe needs to make a model that has a little bit higher torque just to be able to handle the load sometimes. But, you know, these are a byproduct of choices, aren't they? You know, and that's the hard reality. You get to choose how you're going to take care of yourself. And if you decide that slurping down, you know, a 12-pack of soda every day and eating pepperoni pizza and honey buns and Doritos for your main course meal, well, then what are you going to get? You're going to get a body that doesn't work very well. And then, of course, you want modern medicine to, like, magically undo your lifestyle choices. So the more that you move your body, the healthier you're going to be. It really is true. Actually, probably the more you do anything, the more proficient or the better you're going to get, right? Could you imagine if you've never, let's just say you've never ever gone fishing before? Well, how can you be expected to be really good at fishing if you haven't practiced and figured out how to get the fish to, you know, take the bait? It's going to take a while. But if you apply yourself to it, you're going to learn and you're going to grow. Actually, I could fantasize right now about being out in those marshes in Galveston looking for some black drum or some redfish, some trout. Let me see what else. Begins with an F. Flounder. That's right. I would have fun going after flounder today. You talk about delicious. I don't know of anybody that can't cook flounder. It's like so easy. You could use the lowest heat possible. You could cook it in butter. You could salt and pepper it and season it. But that's another reason why seafood's so good for you. It has the most nutrients. Well, if you compare it to like boneless, skinless chicken breast, yes, it has more of a nutrient density. So if you go on vacation, you go to the beach, and you eat a lot of seafood, that may be one of the reasons why you feel so good on vacation, just because you're getting a higher quality nutrition compared to fast food. I wonder if anybody's thought of a franchise just for dogs where they have a drive-through, fast food for puppies. I wonder if somebody's thought of that. I bet you anything it would go over really big. I thought of a good name while ago for it, Scooby-Doo's, and you could sell Scooby snacks. Okay, I'm joking. I just made that up. Anyway, I really wish that I could say, call me on this number and I could take your phone call, because I really do enjoy helping people. And so what's our takeaway so far from today? If you got bad knee pain, what would it hurt to try calcium fructoborate? Okay, nothing. Number two, get it set like flint in your head that your future depends not only now, the very now, today, and also tomorrow and the days that God blesses you with in the future depends on your being able to move. All right? Let's just say that you want to go on a door-knocking campaign. to reach lost souls. Well, it's going to be hard to do that if you can't walk. I mean, yes, maybe the wheelchair can do that, and I'm all for that. And I think that's incredible. But you have a responsibility to be a good steward of the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, we're told in the book of Corinthians that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. I think that's actually Romans chapter 8. Yeah, that's Romans chapter 8. Sorry about that. But your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, it's your job to take care of it. Okay. Here's our third topic of the day, since I can't take phone calls. And I know there's some type of technical glitch here. I'll try to leave a message for John Paul, but I can't receive phone calls because of the overwhelming noise that drowns out the caller. So my apologies. I had nothing to do with it, though. Maybe it was the thunderstorm that came over. Oh, by the way, when I drove in this morning, as I head from north to south toward Jacksonville, I could see almost a bright orange-yellow electricity called lightning shooting through the clouds, and it was way, way off. Before I got there, I said, man, this is probably right over Mount Selman, but it really wasn't. It was a little bit further south of Jacksonville. It was just so bright, I thought it would have been closer. But you just got to go outside and look at the sky. It's like it's been scrubbed and washed clean. It's absolutely beautiful. And just see all those different colors, the pink hues, the peach colors, the orange, the reds, the purples on the clouds. Oh my goodness, how could somebody not believe in a divine creator? It's just truly amazing. To me, I think God shows us how much he loves us and cares about us. He gives us so much pleasure and joy just by giving us such a beautiful place to live. I don't know about you, but I don't have any desire to live on the planet Neptune. Okay? Do you want to live on Jupiter? I don't. Do you want to live on some icy planet that's like 4 million degrees below zero? I'm just making up a number there. But no, it's inhospitable to life. Only this beautiful planet that we live on is capable of sustaining God's creation. It's called man and woman. Could you imagine what it was like for Adam and Eve to live in the Garden of Eden? The things that they saw, what they ate, what their lives were like, it was probably incredible. Of course, what I'm referring to, all before the fall of man, all before sin. And so that's the world that we live in now. We live in a world where there's sin. And sin is dark. I hate it, or we should hate it, because it's the very thing that separates us from God. You know, if you're striving to be holy, obviously, God wants to help us with that, doesn't he? Yeah, of course. Okay, let's go on to the next one right here. This one is interesting also. And the reason I'm choosing these is because they're just so simple to understand. I think just about anybody listening, there could be a takeaway that might be useful to you. And if not to you, there may be a family member that you love that's struggling right now. Maybe they'll benefit. Okay, now, based on the two topics I just discussed, we're going to go on to topic number three, and it's all about cinnamon. And this one got my attention also. It says, this is what happens if you take a gram of cinnamon with every meal. Now, before we even get into the study, how hard or difficult could that be? It's so simple. You can't use any excuses with me on this one. You can't say, Dr. Morgan, this is too hard. I have to twist open the lid of a bottle and take a 1,000-milligram capsule of cinnamon out, and I have to make an effort to swallow it. Yes, you do. But it's just so simple. You think, I know I'm being a little bit jokey or sarcastic here, but I hear this stuff all day long. Somebody sometime throughout the day is going to literally make the most ridiculous excuse on why they can't participate. And it could be water. It literally could be something as simple as, I can't take a teaspoon of water, Dr. Morgan. It doesn't taste good enough. Well, I agree if it's the city of Tyler water. I think it tastes horrible. Okay, here we go. And the other reason I chose this one It because is they looked at people that weren't physically fit. So they say that not too fit individuals who want to improve their lifestyle become significantly healthier if they take a gram of cinnamon with every meal. All right, you ready for something like a massive transformation of your health? Well, why don't you just consider cinnamon? It said their blood pressure, cholesterol, their glucose balance, guess what? They improved. They even took a tape measure and they wrapped it around their waist. And they said, oh my word, the size of their waist is decreasing when they consume 1,000 milligrams, or rather 1 gram, of cinnamon with every meal. Well, how hard is that? That's easy. And I tell you what, you know what's not easy? Not easy is having full-blown diabetes where it destroys your kidneys. Or maybe a different system of the body. What if it destroys your heart and your arteries, your cardiovascular system? That wouldn't be good. Well, what if diabetes wrecks your liver and you have a cirrhotic fatty liver that's just diseased and it can't work right? Well, that wouldn't be good. Well, what if long-term diabetes wrecks your immune system where you develop cancer because your poor immune system doesn't even have a chance to work properly because your blood sugar's so high? Or you don't like that one. What if it causes a very severe cognitive decline where you could go from being a full-time minister where you could preach the Word of God and you could teach others of all the joys of God's blessings and the hope that He gives us through Jesus, His Son, to not being able to teach at all because you have Alzheimer's or dementia because your blood sugar is out of control? See, the bottom line is there's been a lot of help from different groups in the world, but it's almost as if there's some groups of people that don't really want your diabetes to go away. I know this is like an odd thought to discuss with you. Instead, they'd rather have customers for life relying on powerful substances that they swallow to try to manage the blood sugar. Okay, you can do that, but you're only fooling yourself if you think you're going to magically heal from doing that. You really are. What you need to do is you need to take a different course of action. So this is just one point. Here's a study right here. Oh, by the way, you know what an endocrinologist is? That's a specialist. But it's not just any specialist. For example, if you said, I'm going to go to see an orthopedist, that would be a specialist that takes care of joints, cartilage, disc, tendons, muscles. So like if a football player injured a knee or an ankle joint, they might go to an orthopedist. If a person had Alzheimer's or they had a horrible neuropathy or maybe another issue related to the nervous system, they would go see a neurologist. If a person had a cancer and they said, I think I'm going to go to the cancer specialist to see what they have to offer me, that would be an oncologist. Okay, are you with me? Well, the reason why I'm bringing up the term endocrinologist is because I looked at a survey. This might have been 2 years ago. And they said, what is the least satisfied, highest burnout, least satisfaction, most frustration in any medical specialty? Well, guess what it was? It was a field of endocrinology. And I said, man, I'm going to read this one. And, of course, they asked the question, well, why do they get burnout? It's because they keep trying to help people get well, but they don't get well. I'd probably say that about an oncologist, but that's just me, you know, after talking to thousands and thousands of people with their experiences. Oh, yeah, I always ask questions. What did your oncologist tell you? What is the plan from your endocrinologist? What is their plan to get you out of diabetes and to reverse it? Well, endocrinologists, by and far, are not really, really satisfied because they keep trying very specific therapies, and they find that they just don't really reverse the diabetes, as one example. Okay, so here's the study. Endocrinologists from Fortis is spelled F-O-R-T-I-S, Center of Excellence for Diabetes. Oh, man, I like that term. I didn't even read that till right now. endocrinologist from the Center of Excellence for Diabetes. Oh, my goodness. I could work on that one for a while. What does it mean to be the endocrinologist at the Center for Excellence for Diabetes? Maybe I want to change it. You see, I can't help myself. I can't. It's just the way that my brain's wired. How about I start a center for the excellence of former diabetics, meaning they're cured, no longer have it, they're completely free of diabetes, they have rejected it, they're not participating with diabetes anymore, because if they don't, if you don't have diabetes, your health is drastically improved. Okay. Metabolic disease and endocrinology in New Delhi, India. Experiment for 16 weeks. Here's a study. This was in New Delhi, India. Get this. Endocrinologist in New Delhi, India, they experimented for 16 weeks. Let's just say that's 4 months. With 116 rather unhealthy adult subjects. They're not looking for the cream of the crop here, folks. They're looking for people that aren't really that great of a physical specimen here. And these were all unhealthy adult subjects. The test subjects were overweight. They had high glucose levels. That's probably diabetes right there. They all had high blood pressure, and they had impaired cholesterol levels. So do you get the gist of this? All of them were overweight. Their blood sugar was way too high. Every one of them in this study had high blood pressure. Every one of them had high cholesterol, high triglycerides. So are you with me on that? So has this piqued your interest? Is this relevant to anybody listening this morning? It says all the subjects were given information about healthy food and exercise, which they actually were able to use to improve their lifestyle. Man, do I like this. That's how they started off with this. They didn't talk about drugs for diabetes. They didn't talk about statins to lower cholesterol. They didn't talk about Ozempic to force them to lose weight. There's a lot of side effects to that, by the way. They talked to them about healthy food and exercise. Oh, I get it. A little education here. What does the Bible say about wisdom? Get it. Pay whatever price you have to pay and then use it. All right, here's a study. Half of the subjects took 2 capsules 3 times a day with each meal. Each contained a half of a gram of cinnamon. That's it. There's your punchline right there. So they gave half of them cinnamon, 1,000 milligrams per meal. They took it with the meal. So are you with me on that part? They used 500 milligram capsules. Maybe they wanted the size of the capsule to be smaller to make it easier to swallow. That could have been it. Yeah, okay. But 1,000 milligrams a meal. So are you with me on that? Okay. The subjects, therefore, took 1 gram of cinnamon with each meal. That means 3 grams a day. The other half of the subjects used a placebo. Do you know what a placebo is? A placebo is something that has no therapeutic, nutritive, healing property to it. It's just a sham substance. You might think there's a benefit to it, which is powerful in the human mind, but there's really not. The other half took cinnamon. According to fundamental research, cinnamon can positively change glucose metabolism through multiple mechanisms. They say that phenolic phytochemicals, or phenols, in cinnamon, they inhibit enzymes that convert starch into carbohydrates. Ah, so that's a mechanism, huh? Is that how this works? Yeah. And they enhance the action of insulin and the insulin receptor sites. Oh, there's another mechanism right there. I think I'm liking this so far. What they did was they looked at all the different spices that they were considering. They had everything from cinnamon to clove to curry to star anise, black pepper, fennel seed, cumin seed, black mustard seed, coriander, that's what man is made of, fenugreek, ginger, fresh red chili, cardamom, turmeric, and poppy seed. And now what they're doing, I know, they're looking for the one that's got the most phenols. And so total phenol content in milligrams, well, I can tell you which one came out way on top. It was cinnamon. No, a close second, in case you're curious. It was clove. Did you ever have an experience where your mother would cook a ham in the oven or an apple but could put clove in it? It smells so good. Okay, so here it is right here. They're just saying that out of all the spices that could be used in cooking in India, cinnamon may in fact be the very, very best one. It's got the most natural phytochemicals or phenols that help improve insulin resistance, insulin levels, and also blood glucose. Okay. I've got the chart right here in front of me. And here's the conclusion. Oh, let me read this right here. Here's what they looked at. In the placebo group and also the cinnamon group, they looked at blood pressure overall. They looked at systolic blood pressure and also diastolic blood pressure. All right? That'd be the high number and the low number on your blood pressure. They also looked at waist circumference. That just means the number of inches to take a tape measure and measure around your waist at the widest point. You get that, don't you? They looked at fasting glucose. What else did they look at? Triglycerides. Oh, they looked at HDL cholesterol. I don't know what WC stands for. Maybe that means whole cholesterol. No, that means waist circumference. I botched that one, didn't I? Oh, wait, you didn't know that until I told you I messed up. Okay. Basically, in this 16-week study, we showed significant decreases in the measurements of blood sugar. Okay? The people lost weight. That means adiposity, including abdominal obesity, went down. Their triglyceride levels dropped down probably lower than anything. I think it was like a 16-17% change, because I'm looking at the chart right here. I realize it's radio. You can't see the chart I'm looking at. But if you saw it, you thought, oh my goodness. You mean it lowered systolic blood pressure? Yeah. How about diastolic blood pressure? Yes. What about fasting blood glucose? Yeah, that was much lower too with the cinnamon. What about total triglycerides? That was lower. Waist circumference. Well, that's usually a good sign, folks, when your waist becomes smaller. Now, the one thing that did increase by taking cinnamon, well, guess what that was? That's called your high-density lipoprotein. I know they call that the good cholesterol. It's really not cholesterol, but if you want to call it good cholesterol, I'm not going to argue with you. It's fine. I don't get hung up on little details like that, but it's not cholesterol. It's a lipoprotein. What does HDL cholesterol do? Well, it helps remove debris and gunk and plaque from your arteries, which is really what you want. And so cinnamon did that very effectively. I find that so interesting. Have you heard of somebody being rushed to the emergency room because they had an overdose on cinnamon? No, it doesn't happen. Yeah, I get it. You could probably go over hog wild and take too much cinnamon, but that's not what this is right here. It's just 1,000 milligrams per meal. And you can do it however you want. In this study, they used two 500 milligram capsules. So can you believe that they can have all these fabulous changes in their weight? Their waist gets smaller. HDL cholesterol goes up, which means all of a sudden your heart's in better shape and your arteries are cleaner. Your triglycerides and glucose go down. Isn't that what you want? Yeah. All of this just with cinnamon. Man, I'd be foolish not to bring this topic up, wouldn't I? Here's what they said. This is always researcher talk right here. This comes from the journal called Lipids and Health and Disease 2017. Volume 16, page 113. There's your punchline right there. And so here's what the researcher said at the very end. I always find some of this comical. While the results of this investigation are promising, they should be tested in a larger sample over a longer period of time. Well, okay, fine. Let's do it. But 4 months, isn't 16 weeks enough to find out if you're moving in the right direction. I saw a gentleman yesterday. He's probably not listening, so I can talk about him in full detail. I'll give you all the juicy tidbits. No, I'm just joking about that. Nicest man of all time. I tell you what, sometimes people surprise me. And I told him yesterday and his daughter, I said, y'all have really surprised me. You did probably three times better than what I thought you would do. And you know what? That is a problem that I have. I'm always trying to figure out how well someone's going to do. But I have a positive expectation. But this guy blew me out of the water. He went from having fasting glucose levels well above 400. Okay? Do you think that's kind of reason for concern right there? When your blood sugar's above 400? And the guy is telling me, he says, I don't have money to go to a doctor. So I know he's telling me the truth. It's a real situation. But his human spirit is so fabulous and so great. He's got this mindset that he's going to do whatever he can. Of course, I kind of teased him yesterday. I saw his belt. He's got like about three or four new notches on his belt because he's had to take up his pants so much because he's lost so much weight. This is over the course of a month or so, give or take. But anyway, his blood sugar level, he's testing it himself. He's just telling me. He said he's hitting somewhere between 130 and 116. But, folks, 116 on your blood glucose is a far, far cry from having well above 400 every time you take a reading. Do you realize how scary that is? Do you realize how much damage you can do to your body if your blood sugar is sustained above 400? You could totally destroy your body on every level. This is not good. In Espanol, that would be, that is not muy bueno. Not good. Okay, so are you with me on that? Okay, I hope that gives you something to consider and think about prayerfully. All right. Where's my next study? I've got a bunch of them right here. I'm glad I brought enough to get the show done this morning without, because I like taking phone calls, but if I can't take a phone call, I've got to have like my backup, and this is my plan B. Okay, here's another study right here. And I'm going to try to get through this one in 5 minutes, so this is study number four. It was published when? Anyway, here's the title. Specific botanical groups of fruit and vegetable consumption and liver cancer and chronic liver disease mortality. A prospective cohort study. Yeah, I'm like you. Yeah, okay, fine. Use all your big words, but what's the bottom line? They're going on to say that a diet rich in vegetables reduces the risk of liver cancer. I can tell you right now, if you reduce the risk of liver cancer, you reduce every other cancer. Do you realize that your liver is one of the most incredible filtration systems that you have with the blood to keep your blood clean? It is. All right. Here's a study. The researcher's name is Longgang Zhao. I hope I pronounced it correctly. He is an epidemiologist at the University of South Carolina. South Carolina, you might want to get ready for Hurricane Lee. I hope it does not hit there. I do not want it to. I prefer to take a turn on the East Coast and not come inland and go back out into the ocean where it doesn't harm anyone, but I'm not in charge. Okay, he analyzed data from 485,403 Americans who participated in the National Institutes of Health, American Association of Retired Persons Diet and Health Study. I'm almost out of breath reading that. So let's just break it down. Almost 500,000 people participate in the study. And so get this right here. Zhao was able to follow the study of the participants for an average of 15 and a half years. That means some a little less, probably because they passed away, and some a little bit lower, a little bit more than that. And from the mid-1990s up until the study was done. When the study started, the participants were somewhere between 50 and 71 years of age. I don't even know anybody that's 50 that's retired. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. 947 participants developed liver cancer. Another 986 in the study, they developed chronic liver disease, which is a different condition other than liver cancer, but they also died as a result of it. So You had some people die from getting liver cancer. Other people died from liver disease that was liver disease but not liver cancer. And so the researcher Zell looked to see if he could find any link between liver cancer and the death due to chronic liver disease on one hand, and the other hand, matching it up with fruit and vegetable intake. And this just blows me away. The fruits they looked at were cantaloupe, watermelon, bananas, apples, applesauce, peaches, pears, strawberries, oranges, tangelos, tangerines, grapefruit, grapefruit juice, grape juice, other juice, dried fruit like apricots. Those were all the fruits they mentioned. Now, when I read that, you know what I looked for? I said they didn't look at lemons or limes. Because that was my first thought. Lemons and limes are so good for the liver. But they didn't test those. But what he found was fruit intake excuse me, had nothing to do with liver cancer or liver disease. I find that really hard to believe. And I know these are just studies where they look at stuff. And then they looked at vegetables. Here we go. However, vegetables did protect. So where fruit did not do anything that was really significant, enter the lovely vegetable. Zhao discovered that when he divided the study participants into five equal groups based on their vegetable intake, the group with the highest vegetable intake, they had a 28% lower risk of liver cancer as compared to the group with the lowest vegetable intake. So there you go. Your mother is right. Eat your vegetables. Or your father's right. Children, I need you to eat your broccoli today. The chance of dying from chronic liver disease was 18% less. I wish this was just so simple as saying to people, eat salads and eat broccoli and give up the alcohol, but it doesn't work that way. In my fantasy world, that works, but in the real world, that don't work. Okay. When Zhao looked at specific types of vegetables, he found that lettuce, broccoli, and carrots, in particular, protected the liver. Bingo! That's called salads, broccoli, and carrots. And so he's got like a chart here. I don't have time to go into all that. A high intake of lettuce and carrots reduced the risk of liver cancer by 36 and 27% respectively. What if you like to eat salads? Well, then good. You're protecting your liver. If your liver stays in good working order, you can stay healthy. I'll tell you that much. A high intake of broccoli and carrots reduce the risk of dying from chronic liver disease by 50 and 49%. What if that's all you did for your liver is just say, I'm going to stop eating French fries and I'm going to start eating broccoli and carrots? That's huge. You can't make those numbers up. I'm not aware of any drugs that can reduce chronic liver disease death by 50%, or can you? Anyway, it says isothiocyanates help prevent liver cells from turning into cancer cells. You get that stuff from cabbage, broccoli, Brussels sprouts. Did I mention kale yet? How about asparagus? Anyway, carotenoids, that's what gives them color, inhibit inflammation and thereby reduce risk, among other things, the risk of scarring of the liver. So many times a person will get a scan done by a GI doctor. That's gastrointestinal. And it'll show scarring of the liver. And, you know, my question is, what are we going to do about the scarring? Well, here's one answer right here. Eat vegetables that provide your body nutrients to keep your body in great working order. Well, I am sorry that I couldn't take phone calls today. My name is Roy Morgan. This is Health Essentials. Lord willing, we'll get the problem fixed by next week. God bless, and everybody have a great week.